Welcome to Through the Bible. You've made a great decision to start your year off in God's Word. And today we travel further down the road in our study of Romans chapter 14. But first let's visit with Through the Bible's president, Greg Harris.
Well, Happy New Year, Steve.
Happy New Year to you too, Greg. I love this time of year.
Yeah, because there's so many things that we have a sense of newness. And of course, it's going to be another great year to take God's whole word to the whole world.
Yeah. And I love this part of the year because today, especially the first day when you're through the 3-day vacation of New Year's and all of that, that's when you can put into practice your New Year's resolutions.
Yes.
And what better resolution? Maybe you're that person that's listening and wants to go through the Bible consistently this year. You're off to a great start. Keep it up.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have all kinds of great digital tools. If you hear us on the radio, like millions of people do, fantastic. If you miss a program, make sure you download our app or go on to ttb.org. There are a myriad of ways for you to catch up or listen or even get ahead.
Yeah, one of the things I like is, although I like everybody following along with what we're at,
yeah,
because that's the way I listen, but you can do a thing with our app that it says,
yeah,
start your journey.
Yeah,
and
I love
you can
that.
Start in Genesis anytime, regardless of where the Bible bus is. And then that also gives you some flexibility and you can binge listen if you choose to do that.
Yeah, also you could sign up. We have this wonderful email that's called This Week on the Bible Bus that actually gives you the whole Monday through Friday programs, and it goes out on Sunday night. So once again, if you want to sort of jump ahead or get ahead, there's so many different ways to listen. And of course, as the regular Bible Bus schedule, like you said, goes into 2023, we're going to study Old Testament historical books, starting with Ezra and Nehemiah, then into the wisdom books, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, and then back into the New Testament, beginning with 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then Ephesians, probably one of my favorite books in the whole Bible.
Yeah, mine's actually Romans, which is where he is now.
I know. I know how you love Romans 8.
I do.
Nowadays, I can't even read that without thinking of you and seeing your face, which is, you know, that we'll talk about that off air.
Yeah, that may not be the best way to get through Romans 8. The other thing that I like in terms of resources is the expansion that we've had on our Bible companions. One of our folks here, Barb Peel, has done a great job in developing this resource and having a series of questions afterwards. And I've been using it this year in a small group setting. We're going through the Bible companion on Acts, and the entire group has really loved that whole series.
Yeah. Our communications team has just, I've told them you need to curate Dr. McGee's content,
mm-hmm,
the way like the Smithsonian curates great art. And they have done a brilliant job of offering it up to all of us. Yeah. I was on a long trip, an overseas trip recently, and I was reading the Revelation Bible Companion. It's just great, great stuff because it's all Dr. McGee.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'd encourage you to do that. That's another thing. If you want to go deeper into the Word with a New Year's resolution, then look at the Bible Companion as a way to expand that.
And of course, Steve, you know me. I always have to talk about the global work. Kind of just spills out if you just touch me. And we don't have much time, but I can tell you a lot of things are going to happen around the world. Lord willing, we hope to go into Talk Pigeon to finally begin that,
yes,
project. It's been a long time coming.
Papua New Guinea.
And we actually talked about you maybe visiting there, but that may happen later,
yeah,
once this starts. You know, and I'm fine with us sharing over a period of months. Some of our faithful listeners are going to say, you guys have been talking about that for a while. The lesson to learn there is these projects are hard to get,
yeah,
done around the world. And when we celebrate something like we just finished the new version of the Russian in a 5-year cycle, which was going through the book of Revelation in the middle of this whole war.
Mm-hmm.
And Oleg, who,
yeah,
you know, wrote to me and said, that's pretty good timing, you know, that the,
yeah,
Russian people are hearing this. So God is always doing new things in the ministry. And we really, really encourage you to see yourself as part of the Through the Bible ministry.
Yeah. And we would be remiss if we didn't mention the number one way that you could be a part of Through the Bible is joining our world prayer team. I mean, there is just no better way.
Yeah.
So go to ttb.org/pray, sign up for that daily email Monday through Friday. And I know other people have written in. It's not just me that say it really does revolutionize at least your first pass on your emails in the,
yes,
morning. Because Through the Bible is faithfully there, hearing an incredible story, typically of someone coming to faith, but also just the impact of the ministry around the world and how you can pray with literally thousands of other people all around the world for that particular region, and we really feel like it's having a huge impact on the ministry.
Yeah, I hear we're over 18,000 people strong.
Wow.
On the World Prayer Team. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, I remember when it was 10.
Yeah, I know. So let's make it 100.
Yeah, make it 18,001. Greg, why don't you pray for us?
Father, there's so much joy in just following you and letting you show us where you want to take your word to the corners of the earth, to every heart that wants your word on earth. And that's our goal and our prayer. And now we pray as we open your word and we look to a new calendar year that you will change us by the power of your word and the power of your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, as I come back to this fifth verse of the 14th chapter of Romans, we're talking about Christian conduct. We're talking about that which is separation unto God. And this is the separation of the sons of God. You'll remember that this epistle actually began with Paul saying, Paul, an apostle, separated unto. And we said at the very beginning, I think our very first study, in Romans, that separation was not from, but unto something. You know, we have several words in the English language that you need to understand the preposition that goes with them to really understand the word. You take the word cleave. A thing can be cleaved apart, or it can be cleaved together. And it actually means the opposite. Same word. Now, separation is from. But separation is also unto. When a fella gets married, he's now separated unto one girl. And he better be, because that's what marriage is. And the separation from is not the important thing. It's separation unto. And if he's really separated unto one, he'll be separated from, all right. So that the problem today in Christian conduct and in separation is to understand that we're separated unto Christ. Paul was separated unto the gospel, separated unto Christ. And that's actually what holy means today. What is a holy vessel? They had pots and pans in the tabernacle, and on that wilderness journey, they got beaten up. They didn't look very good. And you'd say, you mean to tell me those instruments are holy? Yes, they were used exclusively for God. That ought to be the position of every Christian. Now, that's what it means to be separated, separated unto Christ. You remember Paul says, I've espoused you. And he's talking to those carnal Corinthians. I've separated you as a chaste virgin unto Christ. And the whole point is to be separated unto him. If you love him, you love his word, you want to be with him, want to talk with him, then separation is no problem. The problem is these super-duper, hyper-separated saints today that worry me to death because they say, oh my, you don't do that, do you? Sure, I do that. And what they're talking about is actually playing golf. Now, I think they're meddling when they begin to get in that area. Now, I personally think whatever a Christian does, he ought to do with enthusiasm, and that is this first great principle Paul puts down here in verse 5. Notice this, and I'm going to give you my translation today. On the one hand, one regardeth one day to be above another. On the other hand, another regardeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And when I was a student in seminary, why, I was brought up in a denomination in the South that were strict, actually Sabbatarians, but Sunday was their Sabbath day, they called it. And they just didn't believe in traveling on Sunday. I used to take the train and go down to Augusta, Georgia to preach. And I'd take the train Saturday evening. And do you know that some of the officers of that church wanted to know what time the train got in to Augusta, Georgia? I never was clear on that because of the fact that I got on the train. I said, I got on it Saturday evening. And the splitting hairs like that. One man said to me one day, said, doesn't that disturb you? I said, doesn't disturb me at all. One man observes a day. Now, I respect that man. I don't think he ought to travel on Sunday. I see no reason when I'm going from one engagement to another and it's necessary to travel on Sunday, why, to do that. May I say to you, whatever you do, he says here, let every man be fully persuaded, be convinced in his own mind, be assured in his own mind. In other words, what you should do with enthusiasm. Why, a man can go out here in Los Angeles to the stadium, Coliseum, and see a football game and yell his head off so that he can't even open his mouth the next day. He's yelled like a fanatic. And he can go to a Dodger game at night and do the same thing. And they say, my, he's a fan. But if you just stand up and give one little squeak for Jesus Christ, you're called a fanatic. Now, whatever a Christian does, he ought to do it with enthusiasm. And that's the reason today that going to church is not attractive to the world. Have you ever seen the saints on the way to church on Sunday morning? They're not doing it with enthusiasm. Whatever you do for Christ should be done with enthusiasm, done with excitement. Be convinced of this. This is the thing. I watch these people going to a Dodgers baseball game. I want to be very frank with you. I've never been inside that stadium, and I don't get any wrong ideas. To me, that's a waste of time. But I don't condemn anybody else that goes there. I just don't think that they're thinking right, but that's their business. And if they want to go, fine. I don't. And whatever I do, I want to do it with enthusiasm. Now, somebody says, yes, but you go to golf course. When I go to golf course, I go with enthusiasm. I go because I want to go. And whatever I do for the Lord, I make these tapes because I want to. I'd rather do this than anything that I know of. And if you want to know, I came down here this morning at 6:30 to make this tape because of the fact that this is something I love to do. And I want to see a Christian teach a Sunday school class, except a work. And one of the reasons church work is bogged down as it is today, why they say to this individual, will you teach this Sunday school class? Oh, if you can't get anybody else, I'll take it. Don't take it, brother. If that's the way, well, they won't have a teacher, and they won't have a teacher. Because I think that some people are actually committing sin doing church work. Because what we should do, and this is the first great principle, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now let's bring that over to questionable things today. What about this thing and another? Now, I had a little delegation of girls several years ago. I think they probably passed this period now. But they came to me and they said, do you think it's wrong for a Christian to dance? I think I surprised them a great deal. I said, well, for you, I think it's wrong. But for me, it'd be all right. They gasped. They said, what do you mean by that? Well, I said, I have no question about it. If I wanted to dance, I'd do it with enthusiasm. I don't do it. But the point is, you've got a question. And whatever you do, you'd be persuaded in your own mind. And you wouldn't have come and asked me the question if you had been persuaded in your own mind. I said, I've never had anybody come and ask me whether they ought to go to a football game or not, or go to a baseball game. They go, and they go with enthusiasm. Now, may I say to you, Christian friend today, and I'm not telling you what to do, but I am saying it's a great principle. If you've got a question in your mind about something you're doing, I don't care what it is, for you it's wrong. Might not be wrong for me, but it's sure wrong for you. Simon Peter followed the Lord afar off. He went that night into the judgment hall of the high priest. I sat in a hotel in Jerusalem, in the old city, on the side of the Valley of Kidron, and when the morning sun had come up from the east, it would just make that whole city ablaze across the Kidron Valley. And one of the places that's outside the city wall, don't many see it, is the Church of the Cock Crowing. That's on the spot where the high priest's judgment hall was. That's where Caiaphas's home was. And that's where Simon Peter came in. It's called the Church of the Cock Crowing. And Simon Peter, I'm convinced, shouldn't have gone there that night. But John, who apparently had a home in Jerusalem, knew apparently everybody.
He went in there that night. He didn't deny the Lord. Simon Peter did. It was all right for John. It was wrong for Simon Peter. May I say to you, you better have a conviction about you. John had no qualms at all about that. But for this weak brother, Simon Peter shouldn't have gone in there. Now, it's the weak brother today who is the separated brother. That may seem strange to you, but these people today that have set up a little system and that get up and they say, I don't do this and I don't do the other thing. I was in school with a fella that we used to have a water fight on Saturday night in a seminary dorm. And this dear brother, he would get together two or three of the super-duper saints and he'd pray for us. I've always hoped he'd pray that I'd win it, but oh, we were terrible. Well, we were pretty rough fellas, and I think we did do a lot of damage to property. There was one night we soaked all the rugs, and we almost got booted out of the place. But this young fella, oh, how super-duper he was. Did you know that about 15 years after that, I sat down with him and his wife, begged him not to leave his wife. And he told me he had to. And I said, why? He says, because I have a little daughter by a woman out in Australia, and I want to marry her. And I say to you, he was the super-duper saint. May I say the weak brother is the brother that's totally separated. When you meet one of those, you better keep your eye on him, because he's the weak one. The child of God today does what he does with enthusiasm for God. And they are the ones, I think, get the job done today. Now, I've spent a little time there, and I've done that purposely, friend, because this is important. That means, therefore, that questionable amusements are wrong for the believer if they're questionable to him. But if he can do that and still maintain his relationship with Christ. Now, let me tell you a little story in connection with that. Many years ago in Tennessee, a young lady went to her pastor, said, do you think it's wrong for a Christian to dance? And he said, anywhere you can take Jesus Christ with you is all right to go. Well, that made her angry. She said, well, I can take him to the dance. Pastor said, then go ahead. And so she went to the dance. And that night she said, anywhere I can take Jesus Christ. So a boy cut in on her, danced with her. She hadn't met him before. And she said to him, are you a Christian? He said, no. He wanted to make conversation. He said to her, are you a Christian? She said, yes. And this is what the unbeliever said. What are you doing here? That's what the unbeliever said. She went home. She decided maybe she couldn't take Jesus Christ there. Anywhere you take him, friends, it's all right to go. I don't care where that is. If you can take him into the bar room, you go there. The only trouble of it is the other fellas in the bar room will wonder what you're doing there. And that will be another principle later on. Now let me move on down. Verse 6. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. He that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. So that if you can go out on Sunday, and maybe you play golf on Sunday, and you can take Jesus Christ with you, stop out maybe on the ninth hole and have a prayer with the foursome you're playing with, then may I say to you that it'd be great. But I want to say this to you. What'll the foursome back of you think of you when they are held up and saying, those fellas are praying? And you know what one of them's going to say? What in the world are they doing out here today? Now, let's move on. The one thing is that the one with meat, he gives thanks to God from his heart. The one without meat, he gives thanks to God from his heart. It's not what's on the table, but what's in the heart that makes the real difference in man. That's the important thing, and that's what conditions Christian conduct. Now, verses 7 and 9. For none of us liveth to himself. No man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Now, the important thing to note here is a great many people say, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. And they use that as teaching the fact that our lives affect others, and it's our influence. But that's not the thought here. The fact that is here is that we cannot live our lives apart from Christ. As a Christian, you can't live your life. Whether you live, you'll have to live to him. Whether you die, you're going to have to die to him. Now, our conduct, therefore, is not limited or gauged by the food spread on the table, by the fact that our lives are spread out before him. That's the thing that's important. And you're going to have to give an account for the things done in the flesh. So what you do, where you go, remember, one of these days, you'll sit down with him. And it's not going to be a question of meat on the table. But it's going to be the question of your relationship to him when you sat down at that table. And you can be godless without meat. And you can be godless with meat, of course. That's the thing that is important here. And now Paul comes to this. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it's written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now, I've never quite understood why people want to go to Bethlehem at Christmas time. There's no star there. But the Bible closes with the Lord Jesus saying, I am the offspring of David, the root and offspring of David, and I'm the bright and morning star. Now, that's the star that we're moving toward today. That's the star we should be following. For one of these days, we'll be in his presence. Therefore, he says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. The problem is, you remember the Lord Jesus said to that bunch of Pharisees who wanted to stone a prostitute. He said, the one that's without sin, here's a brick, throw it at her. Not one of those boys were throwing bricks that day. And my friend, when you and I recognize I have to give an account of myself, and I'll be honest with you, that disturbs me a little because I'm wondering how I'm going to tell him about certain things. And so I can't sit in judgment on you. I'm worried about Vernon McGee. Let us therefore not judge one another anymore, but judge this rather that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, Paul's going to develop that thought, that my conduct has to be for the sake of the weak brother. Now, if I'm with a fellow that believes he shouldn't travel on Sunday, and he and I are in a car together, he said, I just can't go today, McGee. I'm going to have to stay with him. I'll stay with him because, not that I agree with him, but for the sake of the weak brother. We need to recognize that. And what Paul is saying here, he says, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let us not chop each other up. And there are certain churches today where they do a good job of chopping each other up. Now he goes on to say, verse 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of. In other words, your Christian liberty today may cause you to be criticized. You need to be careful. For the kingdom of God, he says, is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And how this verse has been abused, it has to do with conduct. In other words, the heavenly sphere of life in which God's word and spirit govern and whose organ on earth is the church. And he says this is the important thing, the spiritual side. Now he goes on to develop this. God rules everywhere, but there is a realm where he governs by spiritual forces or laws alone. God stifles said that, and that has to do with the church today. A Christian can't do what the world does, you see. Man's totally incapable of seeing or entering this kingdom without the new birth. And it hasn't anything to do with eating or drinking or fasting or having no meat on Friday or no pork or a vegetarian diet. These things are so much garbage, and they're the traditions of man. Christ said that they were eating and drinking in Noah's day. My friend, they were talking about whether you should have meat or not meat. Oh, today to learn that we're to be guided and governed by spiritual principles. I'll pick up there next time, finish this chapter, go into the 15th. Until then, may God richly bless you.
You know, the best way to be guided and governed by spiritual principles, as Dr. McGee said, is to be in God's Word every day. You need to do that. And that's what we'll be doing together every weekday of the new year. And by the way, do you know that on Sundays, you can also hear Dr. McGee's Sunday sermon? It's a very different style than what his normal teaching is. I think you'd enjoy it. Check it out if your station carries the Sunday sermon, or you can always listen online at ttb.org. And if you're having any problem finding it, just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll meet you here next time as the Bible Bus continues into the new year. I'm so glad that you're with us on this journey through the whole Word of God.
Jesus made it home, all to Him my own. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Our journey on the Bible Bus today is supported by the prayers and gifts of fellow passengers as we travel through the Bible.